The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I have a story to tell you. I know that it's hard for you guys to believe me. You never tell those stories. But this one was actually a neat story for me. Every year I went to, from the time I was in 7th grade all the way up until probably 2009 maybe, which if you're doing math, that was a long time. But anyways, I used to go to this same summer camp every year. It was on Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I went there every year without fail, man. That was our thing. Like, our youth group went there. It didn't matter what church we were at. We always went to the same camp. And if you've never been to Lookout Mountain, it's this really cool place. You're up on top of this mountain, and you can see 7 states. It's just this massive mountain, and you can see all around. And it's just such a neat thing. And for a Florida kid, mountains are a big deal, right? I mean, mountains were like, this is incredible. Later on, we were blessed to be able to live in Chattanooga, and I didn't have no clue when I was going there that, like, my wife was going to be from there, all kinds of stuff. But it was just this neat experience of being there and seeing all these different things. And every year I would go to this place, and I would be so excited. And I told you, my Christian walk as a high school student was this ebb and flow, right? I'd go to summer camp, I'd go to winter conference, I'd go to these different things, and I'd get this spiritual high, and then I'd have to wait until the next thing that came around to get back up there, because my Christian walk just kind of went like this. And I'll never forget, I went one year, and I wasn't a camper anymore, I was a counselor, and I was sitting back, and I was having a conversation with some friends of mine, and we were talking about how awesome this is. Why can't we just stay here? I said, I had no clue that I was going to move to Tennessee, that I was going to live on a mountain, and all those different things. Like, had no clue any of that was happening, but it was just like, we can't stay here because the mountaintop wasn't meant to last forever. We can't stay here because we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep walking. We have to, at some point in time, come down off the mountain, get back into real life, get back into the real world, get back into everything we know, and we weren't intended to live on those mountaintop experiences. But how many of you guys know the 23rd Psalm? Anybody? Somebody start out saying it.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
There we go. Keep going, you're good. There it is. Very good. Awesome. Now listen, some of y'all started out strong and then it got a little weaker and weaker. The Lord has stayed strong the whole way through. But there's one interesting point about that whole verse is it says, when I walk through. You're not supposed to stay in the valleys either. We're not supposed to stay on the mountaintop, but we're also not supposed to stay in the valleys. So what that tells me is this. Regardless of where I am in my Christian walk, I should always be moving forward. Always. Doesn't matter if I'm on a mountaintop and things are really, really good and me and Jesus are BFFs and he's my homeboy and all those different things, or whether I'm down in the valley and I feel like I am lost and helpless and hopeless without God. Wherever you are in your Christian walk this morning, my challenge, my implore to you is this. You've got to keep moving forward. Actually, that's what God says to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy when they're on this mountaintop experience. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. And said, the Lord our God said to us in Hebron, you've stayed here on this mountain long enough. It's time. See, I have given you this land. Go and possess the land the Lord swore he would give to you and your fathers. God says to the nation of Israel at this moment, hey, listen, you've stayed here long enough. You've enjoyed this blessing of this mountain. You've enjoyed the protection. You've enjoyed everything it gives you. But it's time. You've got to start moving forward towards what you're called to do, what you're called for. As I thought about that passage and as I thought about this idea of moving forward, there was a passage of scripture that came to mind. It's Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to try and get through as much of the chapter as we can. And I've tried to kind of highlight some different things and move through it. But it starts out and he says this, I, but But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned by the flames, and you will not be set ablaze. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you and nations in exchange for your life. The first thing we have to understand is when we keep moving forward, and why we keep moving forward is this. We keep moving forward because we know whose we are. Man, Wednesday night Bible study is awesome. If you're not in Wednesday night Bible study, this is my shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study. You've got to be a part of our Wednesday night Bible study. What stuck with me from Wednesday night, above everything else, was this. It is when Paul gets shipwrecked on the island and he says, listen, y'all, the God who I belong to is going to take care of us. Church, it is important for you to understand who you are, whose you are. You are a child of God. Because you're a child of God, that's important. He starts out here and he says right up front, listen, you are mine. Now, I've got four kids. I love all my four kids, each and every one of them unique and different and separate. But guess what? Those are my kids. What's that mean? They're mine. And with that, there are some certain things that come. He tells us what comes with it in that verse. He says this, and because we are God's kids, we move forward because he's with us. You will never have to go through life alone if you're a child of God. It does not matter what you've done. It does not matter how far you've walked. It does not matter any of those things. He will not leave you alone. He is with you. Yesterday, three of my kids had a little panic attack. We were doing some different things, and I walked up here to the church with three of them, and they were in my office, and they were playing. They were having a good time, jawing all over our dry erase boards and everything like that. And I said to them very specifically, hey, you guys are going to be okay. I'm going to be right back. Sorry, I'm looking at the one who started the crying fit. So they're playing. They're having a good time. Everything's good. I walk out of the door. Walk over to the next building. The doors were locked. It wasn't like I left them unsafe or anything like that. They were perfectly fine. They were perfectly safe. I walk next door. I walk back outside, and I hear through the brick walls three screams and cries, and they're wigging out. And I opened the door. I said, what are you guys doing? They said, you left us. I said, no, I didn't. I told you I was going to be right back. I was going right next door. I was literally like, I could see you from where I was. Because they're my kids, I'm never going to leave them. Because you're his kid, he's never going to leave you. God is going to be with you regardless of what you go through. You will never go anything else alone. We move forward not just because we're his, not because he's always with us, but he will protect us. Verse number 3, he tells you that regardless of what you go through, I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, I'm going to be with you regardless of what happens. He's going to protect us in the fire. He's going to protect us in the river. He's going to protect us in the oceans and all those different things. God's protection is going to be with us. We also move forward because in verse 4, he tells us he loves us. Hey, listen, those are my kids. I ain't scrapped in a long time, but you mess with my kids and we're going to scrap. I will give my life protecting them. Nothing will happen to them as long as I'm their dad. As best I can prevent it. Why? Because I love him. You realize it's the same thing that you experience with as a child of God? You experience his protection, and you are his children. You are his people. You are sheltered. You are covered in the protection of his hand because he loves you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But I know he loves you. Nothing you can ever do will ever make him love you less. That's some good stuff. He tells us this, because we're God's children, you're never alone. We're always sheltered by his hand. We're always loved. The difficulties are not bigger than him, and they're not pointless. I don't know what you're going through in life this morning, but this is what I know. Whatever you're going through is not bigger than him, and it's not pointless. Well, then what's the point? I'm so glad you asked. Keep going in chapter 43. Chapter 43, he picks up in verse 5 and he talks about how you're his. He's called you by name. He's created you for his glory. He's formed you for a purpose and an intention. He picks up in verse number 8 and says this, leave those who have eyes but are blind out. Who have ears but are deaf. All nations together and all the peoples assembled, which their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things. Let them bring their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others may say it is true. But you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be anyone after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no other Savior. The reason that it's not pointless this morning is, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of where you've been or any of those different things, your life has purpose, meaning, and value. You know how I know that? Because we have a mission. You know why you have to keep moving forward? You and I have to keep moving forward because we have a mission. I don't know what you've been told. Maybe you were told at some point in time that you were a mistake, that you were an accident, that you never were supposed to be. That's not true. God created you for a purpose, for a reason. It says in verse number 7 that you were created for His glory. So the biggest mission that you and I serve is that we are here to glorify God. But he goes on and he specifies things beyond that. It's not just that we're here for the overall picture of glorifying God. He gets specific and he says that you're supposed to take the people who have eyes but are blind, the people who have ears but are deaf. Now, if I'm a blind person, what am I have to rely on? Somebody else. If I'm a deaf person, what do I have to rely on? Somebody else. He says, listen, you know what your mission is? It's to take the people who are helpless and hopeless and bring them out. And I love what he does here, because he starts with the physical, right? He says, listen, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to meet people's needs. You're supposed to take people who have no help, who have no hope, and you're supposed to bring them out. But then he goes on in verse number 9 and he talks about people who are far from God, and he makes it spiritual. He says, listen, those people who have no way to have a relationship with me, that's who you're supposed to be a light to. Now, we're all good Christian people and we all know this. There are people who are far from God and there are people who are us, who are God's best friends, and that's why we're here and they're out there, right? Thank you, Miss Gloria. Not even close. Because you know what? I was one of those people. I was one of those people who was far from God, who had no hope, who had no help, who had no way of ever reaching God on my own. But thank God he sent his son Christ to die on the cross for my sins so that he could bring me in and he could give me reconciliation in life in him. And our mission is this. Our mission is to take people who are hopeless, who are helpless, and help bring them into the kingdom of God. Can you save them? No, you can't save them in and of yourself. But you know what you can do? Hey, listen, there's an empty seat next to me at church. You want to come with me? You know what you can do? Hey, listen, I know you're going through a really hard time right now. Can I pray for you? Hey, listen, I know you're going through some stuff. Do you have hope found in Jesus Christ? Do you care if I share with you how you can have that? You help bring helpless, hopeless people in. And that's your mission. But it's not just that. He also tells you in verses 10 through 11, you've got a story to tell. He says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. You're my servants. You're chosen. You know you got a story? Listen, there's a lot of mistruth and untruth and all kinds of truth bombs and truth submarines, and I don't know what all kinds of truth there are out there now, but do you know you have the source of truth? You have the only source of truth. Regardless of what other people tell you is their truth and how they define it, you have the truth that has stood the test of time, that has been defined by the Creator, Sustainer of all things. You have the truth. You say, well, I don't really feel like I have the truth. How in the world do I have the truth? How do I move forward with truth when I don't even know what my story is? I'm so glad you asked that too, because it's found in chapter 43. 43, he starts back up in verse 12, and he says this, I've revealed, I've saved, I've proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. He picks up in verse number 16 and he says this. Yes, this is what the Lord says. He who made the way through the seas, the pass through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots, the horses, the army, and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. You know what your story is? Some point in time, God saved you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, listen, I wasn't a bad person. I don't know. I mean, like, you ever hear one of those testimonies from somebody, and you're like, oh, God really saved that person. I'll never forget, we were in youth group one time, and this guy, I knew him. I mean, I watched him from the time he was this age. Grow up, and we get in youth one night, and he starts to confess his testimony. He says, I was hooked on drugs. Bro, you can't even spell drugs. You ain't. I know who your mom is. You've never seen a drug. Like, he came up with this whole thing about how he was on cocaine at 7 years old. And I was like, you, that's not possible. I knew you. But what he heard is he heard all these other exciting testimonies. And he thought, my testimony has to be that exciting. You know what I shared with him? Hey, listen, man, your testimony is just as exciting. You know why? Because instead of God pulling you from those things, he kept you from all those things. I don't care who you are, what you've done, what you haven't done. Maybe you have not moved from the church pew your entire life. Your rear end has been in the same pew since 1942 till today. But guess what? That means that God has protected you and saved you from certain things. And your story is amazing and remarkable. And your story has to be told. You move forward because you have a story that people need to hear. You move forward in confidence and in power. Confidence, why? Because you can look back at all the things that God has protected you from or brought you through. Man, we were songs, awesome, awesome songs. Driving Highway 1, almost 3 years ago. Everybody in the car was sick. I was here and we were going to preach. I was like, I don't really know if I want to go to Morningsport. I thought it was Morningsport. No, Morningsport. I thought it was like a two-word thing. It was not. Found that out. And I remember singing that song, There Is Another in the Fire. And I remember singing, God, if this is where you want me, make it so. I'll go. I'll do whatever you want to do because I know that I'm not going there alone. Love to hear that song because it reminds me, hey, listen, he brought me through that. When I didn't realize how we were going to pack up three kids, because we didn't even know, well, we kind of knew with the fourth one at the time, but we weren't talking about it. But how am I going to pack up four kids and move 16 states away from our family and do all these different things? How am I going to do this? I can look back and say, God brought me through all that. And I can move forward confidently because I know what he brought me from. I know what he's had me through and what he's sustained me in. And then the other one, all my life, you've been so, so faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. Listen, man, if I could go back and look through my life and think about all the things that God has done to bring me to this moment right here, I can't help but get excited and cry. Because, man, he's done so much for me. And that gives me confidence. But check this out. There's this little thing that he slides in there, too. Verse number 13, we skipped over, but we're going to jump back into it real quick. He says this in verse number 13. Yes, from ancient times, from ancient days, I am he. Y'all catch that? I am he. Seems like such a normal little phrase, right? But as soon as I read that, you know where my mind jumped? Over in John. Wednesday night Bible study, we discussed this. It's another little shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study. Over in John, they come to arrest Jesus. They've got all the different centurions and the temple guards and Judas there. And they go to Jesus and they say, are you Jesus? What does he say? I am he. And they all get knocked down. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this verse, when he says, I am he, no one can deliver you from my hands, that I don't just move forward with power or with confidence. I move forward with power. That same power that put all those Roman guards, all that temple guard, everybody on their keisters that day is at work in you and I's life. Do you understand that? The power of I am he is at work in your life. That's some power. That's something remarkable. That power should not cause us to sit on our seats. It should propel us to move forward in life. There is no way with that power working in you that you can stay still. I don't know anything about cars, but anybody know car? Anybody a car person? Okay, if you're a car person, cool. You've got a big engine. Is that so you can just sit still at the stoplight? Why you got a big engine in a car? So you can go fast. Thank you, Kenneth. Wonderful. You got a big engine in a car so you can go fast. Listen, we've got the power of I am He sitting in our lives, and we want to come to church and say, oh, wonderful day today. Just want to sit here and soak it all in. He says, listen, you've got this power in you to go fast. Go forward, move. You've got to be moving forward. He keeps going in Isaiah. This is the pinnacle of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 18. I'm sorry, chapter 43, verse 18. I'm sorry. He says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals, the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Listen, church, we've got to keep moving forward, not just with confidence and with power. We've got to move forward with expectation and praise. As the pinnacle of the chapter, here's what actually happens. It's like God has said this, now that you know who you are to me, now that you know your story and what I've brought you from or what I've brought you out of and how I've protected you, now that you're aware of the power that's at work in you, it's time to move forward. Faithfully expecting that God's not done, there are still new people that need to hear about living water. I wonder who God has placed in your life in the past 6 months, in the last year. Who God's had in your life for a long time, but this thing called Christianity is kind of new to you, and so you're getting used to sharing with them about your faith. This morning, I wonder if we move forward with expectation and praise because we see that God's doing a new thing. As God's doing a new thing, He's got people around us that He's brought into our lives for the specific reason of hearing about His truth, His love, His mercy, His grace. If that's the case, then we keep moving forward in faith. He says there's new things that God wants to do. You know what new things means? It's never been done before. You guys have all heard the example and seen the example, and I think I've even used it here before. Gentle. Is that faith?
Yes.
Somewhat, but here's the thing. What is this? A stool. You know how I know a stool is going to hold me? Because I've sat on a stool before. You know what faith is? What in the world is this thing? Oh, that's not a good idea. Oh, it's something new. Something that's never been done before, you've never seen, you've never experienced, and all of a sudden God calls you to do it, and you get to put yourself out there in faith and take steps that you never knew were possible, go places and do things that you never knew were imaginable. And this new thing that you've never seen before becomes remarkable in your life. We move forward now with faith because we've seen all that God's done. But it doesn't stop there. Did anybody catch this? You move forward with praise. As owls and jackals and wild animals. What? What God's saying is this. All of creation is going to praise me one day. All of creation. They're going to praise me for everything that I've done. They're going to praise me for who I am. They're going to praise me for the God that I am. And you get to be a part of it. With all creation, with everyone together, we get to join together in praise. Why? Because creation praises God, and that's what you and I were called and created to do, is praise Him for everything He's done. For water in the wilderness. You know what that means? When you and I were hopeless and helpless, God provided a way for us to have a relationship with Him. And that's why we praise Him. Great story. Wonderful job. Thanks, John. You're welcome. I know that's what you were thinking. There is this next passage, though. See, here's the problem with the next passage. The next passage talks about this. It talks about how Jacob hasn't called on me, and you yourselves, you've wearied me. You've brought sheep and burnt offerings, and you've not honored me with these sacrifices. And as you read through this passage, it's a lot of church terms, it's a lot of religious terminology and stuff. But you know what stood out to me about this passage? It tells you and I what happens when we stop moving forward. See, when we stop moving forward, there's a couple things that happen. The first thing is we stop trusting God. It starts out very beginning. You haven't called on me. Maybe it's because they became so convinced that they can handle their problems on their own. They don't need God. Guilty. Maybe it's because they've convinced themselves that, hey, listen, a more tangible thing is what we need. This God's great. I'm so glad you're there. You're distant, and I know you're there, but you know what I can hold on to? I can hold on to this. So I'm going to trust this. I'm going to place my faith in something I can hold on to that's tangible. The second thing that happens is this. Their religion becomes an obligation. Their worship is things that they have to do. It bothers them. It's wearisome. Can I speak real honestly with you, church? If things that you ought to do as worship are burdensome or weary, it's probably because you stopped moving forward. When you go through that list and it talks about all the things, this is what they were supposed to do. This was supposed to be their joy of what they got to offer to God and say, God, we give this to you because of everything you've done. And it became a burden. If your Christian life is a burden to you, it's because you've stopped moving forward. You decided to stay still. When you decide to stay still, you start to get bitter. I don't want to go to church today. That pastor, he just talks too much. He walks around. I can't even get a good nap because he doesn't stand still. All right, fine. I guess I'll go. I don't want to pray this morning. I'm just not feeling prayer. Read my Bible. It's the same words it's always been. That's what it says. It says it never changes. So why am I going to read it? Because it never changes. When you and I start to view the joys of our Christian life, the things that we get to do because we are His children, as burdensome, weary, and dead, it's because we've stopped moving. Here's the good news. It doesn't stop there. Because he continues in verse 25 and he says this. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. Church, we keep moving forward because He's redeemed us. He's reconciled us. He's saved us. He says, listen, those moments when your Christian walk just doesn't feel like it should, and you've let sin, you've let distance, you let those resentment things creep in, yeah, I took care of those, I washed those out. Hey, when you've done messed up like you have, when you've gotten lost, you've gotten distant, you've let your relationship with Christ kind of go to the wayside, I knew this was going to happen, I took care of it on the cross. I brought you back time and time and time again. Listen, when I consider that phrase right there, he redeemed me, he reconciled me, and he saved me. What else can I do to move forward? Knowing that that's not where he wants me to stay, but he wants me to move forward. He needs me to because he needs a mission. My life has purpose and meaning. He needs me to because he wants to show me more every day how confident and faithful he is. What choice do I have to move forward? Now, I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know what's going on with you. Some of you, I know parts of your story and things like that. But here's the deal, man. You can fake it. You can put on a smile. You can say everything's great, wonderful, good. This morning, does your Christian life feel dead? Does your walk just not seem to be exciting, enjoyable? That power isn't really part of what you live in. There's no purpose. There's no meaning in anything. This morning, I wonder if you'd be willing to take a step forward. Just a step forward. And see what happens. Because as we start to move forward, you know what happens? He calls us to take another step, and another step, and another step. And every step we take, we get closer to him. And that excitement and that passion and that fire comes back. And all of a sudden, our Christian life is different. This morning, I can tell you this. I've been praying a lot over the past couple weeks, which is a good thing, I guess, as a pastor. Man, we're at a high point in church. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, how's church going? I said, dude, I'm scared. Because it's really good. Like, nobody's mad at me that I know of. We're growing. We're seeing God bring people in and do different things. Our mentality is changing it, and we're focused on reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in a really good spot. And you know what it would be easy for us to do as a church? Listen, we're in a really good spot. There's not a lot of space in church anymore, so let's stop inviting people. Can we do that for a while? We're making a decent impact in our community. Let's not go crazy. We got Easter egg hunt coming up this year. Actually, we got trunk or treat before Easter egg hunt. Let's just scale it back a little bit this year so that way. No. You know what I've been convicted of? As a church, as high as this is, as awesome as where we are is right now, I want to keep moving forward. I want to see what's around the next corner. I want to see what's in the next valley with you. I'm not praying for a valley, but hey, listen, if we're going to come off the mountaintop, I know what comes next. I took geography in 8th grade, I think. Mountains lead to valleys. Do you know what that means? We're walking through it together. We're going to keep taking the next step. We're going to keep taking the next step. And we're going to see all that God does on the mountains and in the valleys together. Because as a church, I want to move forward. I don't know where you are this morning. But my prayer is this. A church will only go as far as its members will go. So this morning, if as a church you want to move forward, are you as a person, as a Christian, willing to move forward? Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this word from Isaiah. God, that we can't just live on the mountain. As much as we would love to stay here in this moment, Lord, that's not what you've called us to do. You've called us to move forward. So this morning, in our personal lives, God, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us through the work of your Holy Spirit to move forward. God, for some in this room this morning, it may be a move forward in a step of salvation. They've never accepted the gift of Jesus Christ and his mercy and love in their life. And so this morning, the step that they need to take is a step forward of saying, hey, listen, God, my faith and my trust is in you. God, it may be for baptism, that next step of obedience and saying, Lord, I don't understand all of this and I'm still trying to figure things out, but I want to take a next step forward in you. Lord, maybe it's joining this church or being a part of the ministries. God, maybe it's sharing your faith with somebody. Whatever you're laying on their hearts, that next step is, Lord, I pray that we will be obedient this morning to where you're calling us to go. God, as individuals, we would move forward. And as a church, we would move forward in a direction that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.